Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature, or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter, nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP. On the web at yourfinancialchoices.com, and you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. I also like to remind folks that there are podcasts on both those websites as well of prior shows. So if there's a particular topic you're interested in hearing more about, you can check those out. Today is February 15th, 2017. The markets were up today, the Dow closing at 20,611, the NASDAQ at 5819, and the S&P at 2349. Tonight, we are talking about taking care of loved ones through risk management. I thought, gosh, it's around Valentine's Day. We think about taking care of our loved ones, giving them flowers and cards. Why don't you take it a step further and actually make sure you're providing for risk that we may not always be able to identify. So we're going to talk about taking care of loved ones through risk management. We are live tonight. We'll take your questions. Lori C. is in the studio with us this evening. We'll answer your calls, take your information, and we ask you to mute your radio so you can hear us without the delay and we can talk without confusion. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments. And while I typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic. I'll do my best to answer them. Recall last couple of weeks, we've talked about taxes. Next week, I'm going to talk about Schedule B, interest and dividends. So we're going to have tax topics throughout tax season as well. But sometimes I don't want to talk about taxes all the time. So that's why I thought Valentine's Day, we'll talk about this risk management. If you have questions, you can talk on air with us or off air. If you're not comfortable talking on air, you could just give your question to Lori and she'll write it down and bring it into the studio. The number for questions tonight is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Email is also available at yourfinancialchoices.com. I have a guest this evening. How exciting for me. My guest this evening is Roxy Munoz, CLU. Roxy is an assistant vice president at Valley National Financial Advisor, where she heads up the insurance division. She holds two insurance designations, CLU and FLMI, and has over 30 years of experience in the financial service industry. She's passionate in the area of insurance planning and has assisted hundreds of clients in the review and improvement of their insurance portfolios. She is a member of the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors and the Society of Financial Service Professionals. Roxy, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, Lori. It's great to be back.
Roxy's been on a couple times before, so I thought it was time to bring her on again, and she graciously agreed. So as I mentioned, we had just had Valentine's Day, and thinking of people that we love this time of year, I thought it would be a good time to put those thoughts into action and make sure that we are taking care of our loved ones beyond just that, you know, greeting card. Through every stage of our lives, there is some risk management that we must consider should something happen to us prematurely, like death or disability or some kind of accident. So with that, we have options, and we have options around life insurance, disability, health insurance, property and casualty, long-term care options. There's really so much. So we're going to try to give an overview tonight. But the general term of risk management, Roxy, can you explain why we're talking about it and kind of what that might encompass?
Sure. Risk management, it's a very broad term and refers to the practice of identifying potential risks in advance, analyzing them, and then taking the steps to reduce the risk. So traditional risk management is sometimes called insurance risk management, and that would focus on pure risk, which is a possible loss of accidental means. But as you know, Lori, financial institutions also employ risk management for other reasons. For example, interest rate risk is a bank's most important financial risk. Banks use various hedging techniques, such as derivatives, to manage a bank's exposure to interest rate volatility.
So in general, when we talk about risk management could really mean different things for different people. So businesses have risk management that they have to manage. Individuals have different risk, and those risks could mean different things. For example, someone who's 80 is going to have different kinds of risk that they need to protect against versus someone who might be young with a brand new house and children. So let's talk with the basics, though. And what are people most familiar with, do you feel?
I think the first time you think of risk, you think of insuring your home or your car for the potential loss for a fire or vandalism, or for your car, it would be for an accident that you might have. Everyone pretty much has insurance for either their home and their auto. And I would recommend that listeners work with property casualty agents to make sure that they have the adequate coverage, applicable deductibles, and that they review those coverages regularly.
So you want to make sure that when we're talking about adequate coverage, sometimes home values might go up, right, and maybe they bought their house 20 years ago and they never told their insurance agent that they might have done an improvement on it or something like that.
Even maybe they buy valuables. Maybe that needs to be insured. That would be something that you should talk to your insurance agent about to make sure that you have insured any valuable property that you have.
That's a great recommendation, because typically with your cars, you're kind of always upping redoing those policies. We buy cars frequently, but sometimes Our homes, we don't think about it. And, you know, I know insurance agents sometimes send those questionnaires, but you really have to pay attention to them. There's a reason to pay attention
That's
to it.
Right.
So you want to make sure you have that adequate coverage. So there also could be a risk of when we talk about, so now we've covered our property. What about we have people who are working and they may be supporting the family. So they might have a loss of earnings if they, become disabled at work or something like that. There could be life insurance that they need to replace their earnings. They might have to make sure they have health insurance. So can you talk about some of the other types of coverage? So at the beginning of the show, I kind of want to give a broad view of the different kinds of coverage we might have.
Let's talk about briefly, health insurance first, and managing that risk of the high cost associated with health care. I think younger individuals don't give a lot of thought about health insurance. They're usually covered first, maybe under their parents' plan, maybe while they're in college. And then they get group health insurance through an employer. But as we age, there are health care expense risk becomes a major concern for many. So I would say that healthcare expense risk can be defined as the risk of having inadequate medical insurance to cover the inevitable medical expenses associated with aging.
Okay, so we've talked about property and casualty, taking care of our property. Now we're moving into making sure we take care of our health with adequate health insurance. And that can go a long way, because if people don't have coverage and they're ill, that could infect their employment if they're not getting the care that they need or the medicine they need to be able to get to work every day. So we want to check that off our list. Make sure you're reviewing your health care coverage and understand that under today's rules, under the Affordable Care Act, children up to age 26 can be covered on their parents' insurance, which is what Roxy mentioned, unless they have coverage through their own employer. So even my married daughter could have coverage on our policy until she was age 26, because she didn't need to be covered by her husband's policy. So you also want to check out your options if it was going to cost more one way or the other. So we've talked about health insurance. We're at our first break. So when we come back, we're going to continue talking about the different types of risk we want to make sure we're paying attention to and having adequate coverage for them. And as we go through the show, we're going to talk about disability, life insurance, the difference between term and group, and then hopefully get into some long-term care discussion as well. Folks, if you have questions, we are live tonight. We are happy to take your calls. The phone number is 610-758-8810, and we'll take your calls live on air, or if you're not comfortable, you can give us the question, we'll write it down, and we'll answer it off air. 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
WDIY is throwing a party, and you're invited. Join us for a night of live music, food, drinks, and fun as we celebrate WDIY's 22nd anniversary, featuring a performance from Steve Broski and his Big Little Band. Saturday, March 4th at the Ice House in Bethlehem. Get your tickets today at WDIY.org. We'll see you there.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I have in the studio with me this evening Roxy Munoz. Roxy is a CLU and FLMI, an insurance manager at Valley National Financial Advisors. And we're talking about risk management tonight, taking care of our loved ones. It's about taking those sentiments that we had yesterday on Valentine's and actually putting them into action and making sure that we are indeed taking care of our loved ones and have adequate coverage around a number of areas. We started off talking about making sure you have adequate coverage for property and casualty, being your home or your car, because it could be detrimental to the family if there is an accident on your property, an accident with your car, and you don't have the adequate coverage. If you're having to pay out of pocket, that could severely impinge on the family's ability to meet their cash flow commitments, their expenses, things like that. So we want to make sure you have proper and adequate coverage. You, at that same time, you could be reviewing your deductibles and how much are you paying for these benefits. I've seen people have car insurance on their 1995 car, junker, parked in the driveway with a, $200, $250 deductible. So you want to look at it in comprehensive or collision or something like that. So you want to review those with your property and casualty agent to make sure you have adequate coverage. Roxy also mentioned making sure that we have adequate health insurance and that taking care of our health care expenses is extremely important, especially if it could affect your ability to get to work if you're not feeling well because you couldn't go to the doctor. So you want to make sure you're covering that. Now, Roxy, what else do we have? We were talking about when we're working, we also need to pay attention to disability possibly. And this is one area of insurance that a lot of people rely possibly on employer plans, which I'll let you talk about in a minute, but don't realize that they actually could get some disability coverage outside of work and what that means. And that's probably a very overlooked insurance that you might have statistics on. More people might need that than life insurance. So talk about disability for a moment.
Sure. I agree, Lori, that disability is one coverage that clients, I was going to say, people don't consider, and they probably should, especially during their working years. So I would say that disability is really considered income replacement or income protection, and you can be covered either on a short-term or a long-term basis through an employer plan. It's a little difficult to find a short-term disability plan on an individual basis, but usually employers will provide that maybe as a payroll deduction type voluntary program, and the long-term disability seems to be the one that is, if it's going to be part of a group plan, could be employer paid. If you have an employer paid disability plan and go out on claim, then the benefits are going to be taxable to you because you are not paying the premiums. If you have an individual policy, you're paying the premiums yourself, then that will be a tax, will not be taxable when the benefits are paid out. So that's something to think about. Let's see what else. Employer plans are probably less expensive, but you don't have all the different options that you might have available on an individual plan. For example, I like to see an inflation type rider on disability policies. Otherwise, as you're salary increases, then you usually have to purchase more insurance, either a separate policy or an additional premium to add to the coverage. If you have an inflation rider put on at the beginning, then that cost is already factored in and you're paying the same amount every year, but the inflation rider would increase your monthly benefits.
Well, you made some really good distinctions there with the employer plan versus the employee paying. So people, keep this in mind. You may assume at work that you have disability coverage. You can't make those assumptions. You want to know and understand your benefits. And I have had a show on this before where you definitely want to know your benefits before you accept employment, because you want to make sure you're comparing apples to apples as far as if you... the benefits that an employer is giving you. So an employer could provide some kind of disability. Roxy's saying sometimes if they're going to have it, a group plan typically would be long-term. If people want short-term, usually the employee might have to pay that themselves.
Right.
If the employer is paying for the plan and you end up getting a payout on that disability, it's going to be income taxable to you because you didn't pay for it. If you are paying for it and it's through payroll deduction, you want to consider having it done on an after-tax basis, meaning you're not getting a deduction for that, because then if you've done it with after-tax dollars, when you receive it, it will be income tax-free. So you really have to understand the difference between long-term, short-term, employer-provided or employer-paid or employee-paid. And then also consider getting a policy outside of work, which might give you more bells and whistles and options as far as putting inflation riders on it, and even probably depending on what kind of profession you have and what kind of work you might have. Now, Roxy, I've had a couple questions come in, but first off air, I had Lisa from Bethlehem called in, and I don't know if you'll know the answer to this off the top of your head, but she asked, how long have long-term policies, so we're going to talk about long-term care policies a little bit later in the show, but how long have long-term care policies been sold in the U.S.? Any idea?
I would say that they started in the early 80s, and way back then they were really just nursing home policies. They didn't pay for care at home as the ones do now. They didn't pay for assisted living facility care, so they were very limited. I think you actually had to be in a hospital first and then go right into a skilled nursing care in order to get the coverage. So they were very limited.
Okay, thanks. And thanks for the call, Lisa. We also have Carolyn on line one. Hi, Carolyn.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry, I'm slightly off topic. I have a question. I have medical coverage through my employer.
Uh-huh.
Is there a form I need to have my taxes prepared because of having that coverage?
Like health insurance coverage?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
So what happened a couple of years ago with the Affordable Care Act, they started requiring employers and or insurance companies or the marketplace to issue a form called 1095. And the 1095 is a 1095A or a 1095B or a 1095C, depending on who's doing the reporting. So off the top of my head, it's terrible. I'm trying to think. I think the employer issues a 1095B possibly, and the marketplace might be A, and insurance companies might be C. So, right, for our purposes, don't worry about the ABC, but you may not need it. So if you had employer coverage for the entire year, unless you're getting premium tax credits from the marketplace, meaning you qualified to get premium assistance through the marketplace because of being low income, you won't need those forms for your tax return. So for people who went to the marketplace who may have received a premium tax assistance, meaning they've lowered the premiums on their health insurance ahead of time, assuming they're low income, or if you think you're going to qualify for a premium tax credit, then you would need some of those other forms to show what your coverage was. But if you're covered for the whole year, you really just need to check a box saying, yes, I was covered for the whole year.
Okay, I think that's my situation, and it hasn't changed in years.
Okay.
So, okay.
Typically, yeah, that's typical when people are employed with good health insurance coverage.
Okay, can I ask one more quick question?
Sure.
I also, through work, have an FSA. F is in Frank, but it's a flexible spending account.
Right.
Is that the same as either a health spending account or a medical spending account, or are
no.
they all different?
They're all different.
Okay.
So the medical savings account, I'm not going to talk about because we rarely see those anymore. The MSAs, I think they are. We rarely see those. Typically, we're seeing flexible spending accounts the most. Health savings accounts, more people are having them, but they're a little bit more complicated. Flexible spending account is basically the employer allows you to set aside pre-tax money into an account that they call the flexible spending account to be used for health care costs. It could be the chiropractor, co-pays, prescriptions, eyeglasses, dentist, whatever you want. But they take that money out pre-tax, mm-hmm. and it's some predetermined amount. So it could be up to, I think it's, gosh, this is terrible that I'm not knowing all my numbers. It might be like $2,500.
I think it's 26 or, yeah, right around
I think
there.
It went up with inflation a little bit this year. So you can put that money aside. It's pre-tax. It's a great way to save money on taxes. The issue is, if you don't use it all, you could lose it. Now, they give you a few months typically after, depending, there's a couple different ways, but you can use usually either submit your receipts up through March. Sometimes they'll let you even have expenses a couple months after, but it depends on your plan. You got to look at it. So you want to be good at estimating it. So what I'll typically tell people is if it's you're going to need the crowns, the eyeglasses, hey, do $2,500 if you think it's going to be that much, or the orthodonture work, things like that. If you say, well, no, I did all that last year in 2016 or 20, maybe I'm doing it this year in 2017, then I might not sign up for as much flexible spending on my next round. Each year you can change how much you want to do. That's the flexible spending account. The health savings account, you have to have a high deductible health insurance plan, and then the employer sometimes puts money into it, and you can put money into it, and it depends on if it's a single covered plan or a family plan as to how much money you can put into it.
Okay. Terrific. Thank
All
you
right.
so much.
Thanks, Carolyn. Have a good night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in just a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
American folk music offers a variegated pattern of performers and styles. I'm Tom Druckenmiller, your host for In the Tradition. Together, we'll trace the roots and branches of American folk music from the earliest recordings and performers through today's talented players. In the Tradition, Wednesday evening from 7 to 9 p.m. on WDIY 88.1 FM and WDIY.org. WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are talking about risk management tonight, taking care of your loved ones. I have in the studio with me Roxy Munoz, CLU and Assistant VP at Valley National Financial Advisors. And it's about action, checking your risk management across all aspects of where you have those needs, property and casualty, health, disability. Roxy, what else do we have left? Life insurance,
yep.
Long-term care. So this is Roxy's favorite. But let me give the phone number. Folks, I love the questions, love the calls. You can talk on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable with. The phone number is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. Also available through email at yourfinancialchoices.com. Those I answer at a later time, yourfinancialchoices.com. So, Roxy, let's talk about life insurance.
All right.
Because I know there's a couple different kinds of life insurance.
That's right. I know most people, they have group insurance through their employer, and it's normally one times your salary to a maximum of $50,000. I mean, that's usually what most employers that are maybe 20 lives and above would provide to their employees. Then they sometimes have supplemental type insurance that you could purchase through your employer. Those are not necessarily the most inexpensive. They're mainly payroll deducted. But I would think if you go through an insurance professional and ask them to also provide prices for you, you might find that it's less expensive by going through an insurance broker than just taking the policy that your employer has, set up for you. But, it is something that you should look into, but you probably will be asked medical questions, whether it's through the employer, it's a voluntary type life insurance, or, of course, individually.
Can I throw something in here, Roxy, since it is tax time? Folks, one way you know if you have some life insurance over $50,000 is on your W-2. Some employers do provide life insurance more than the $50,000. $50,000 is a basic, and it doesn't affect our W-2 at all. If the employer provides more than $50,000, sometimes they'll say one times your salary, and you might be making $150,000. Well, that's more than the $50,000 typical policy some employers provide. If your policy is worth more than $50,000, they impute income to you. They impute income to you, and that's what you see on your W-2 under code C in box 12. Code C. That's not taxable for Pennsylvania, but it is taxable for federal. So I just wanted to mention that.
That's because, Lori, you have your tax hat on now. It's tax season.
I do. So when you're talking about life insurance, while you might have some group insurance through work, that doesn't mean that you have adequate coverage. And we're going to talk about that more in just a minute. But I do have a call from Tom in Coopersburg right now. Tom, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Hi. How can I help you?
Hopefully a simple question. I have an HSA. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry to backtrack.
Yeah,
I have an HSA, and can I still contribute to it for 2016 like I can with an IRA up until tax filing day?
Oh, gosh, you got me there. You know what? I have, I think, one client that has an HSA, and I'm going to see if I can look this up really quickly, because there's a couple different kinds of HSA. One could be through the employer, and they're doing it equivalent to your tax year. But do you have this individually, or is it through work?
Yes, it's an individual HSA. And I know, with an IRA, my IRA, I can contribute to it up to the maximum, for 2016, still up until, I think, tax filing day.
Right.
But I'm wondering if I can do the same for my HSA.
Yeah, I'm feeling like you might be able to. I'm trying to get to that real quick if it's your own plan. So mm-hmm. I might have to look that up and tell you after our next break. If you keep listening, I'll look it up and let you know. Okay?
Okay, I appreciate it.
All right, so stay tuned.
All right.
Thanks.
Okay.
Bye-bye. So that's a good question. I love the questions. Folks, if you have them, I will certainly try to find the answer. If I don't have the answer, I will try to look it up or reach out to you another way. The phone number is 610-758-8810. We can take questions live on air or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. We're talking with Roxy Munoz, and we're going to spend probably the rest of the show talking about life insurance and hopefully get to long-term care. So quickly, we just touched on group life insurance, and I want to talk about how do we assess or think about the need that we might have outside the coverage that we have at work? How do we know what we need or not? So we're going to take a midway break here, folks, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Roxy. Phone number is 610-758-8810. Back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And you are listening to WDIY, Lehigh Valley's community NPR station, your source for NPR news, public affairs, and a great mix of hand-picked music. Lehigh Valley weather, current conditions, 36 degrees under overcast skies. Tonight, cloudy with lows around 26. Thursday, partly sunny with breezy conditions, highs around 38. Friday and Saturday, sunny skies are expected with highs each day in the mid to upper 50s. The time now is 6:30 p.m. Now back to your financial choices with our host, Lori Siebert.
Thank you, Jeff. Welcome back to the show. I have Roxy Munoz, CLU, with me in the studio talking about risk management, insurance, and taking action, taking care of your loved ones. Since we just had Valentine's Day, it's more than just giving them a greeting card. So we want to make sure you're covered. Tom had called right before the break from Coopersburg and had asked the question, can he still contribute to a health savings account for 2016? And it's an individual plan or a family plan for himself. It's not through his employer. Yes, Tom, you have until, actually this year, you have until April 18th because our tax returns, although I'm not telling anybody as I've mentioned on the air, our tax deadline is actually April 18th this year, not April 15th. So, Tom, you'd have till April 18th to make your contribution for 2016. All right. So great question. Thank you. Back to Roxy. And again, if folks have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. So Roxy, let's talk a little bit more about life insurance. So we talked about employers and there's group insurance. And then sometimes our employers offer life insurance to us on top of that we can buy ourselves. Right. What other options do we have?
Well, you can purchase it on your own by getting in touch with an insurance professional. There's different types of insurance, and it's all dependent on what your need would be. So if you're younger and have children, a mortgage, you might want to think about what's called term insurance, which would be for a certain period or a certain term length that would cover that need that you have when you're younger and have all those responsibilities. You also could do a permanent type policy, which is a policy that has value, that builds up what I call a side fund inside of the policy. Now, those are more expensive, but you also get this cash deferred growth inside the policy. And those could be used for, maybe you need to use some of the cash value for something and you don't want to use it from your savings account. You can certainly do a loan from the policy if you need to, but it is not usually my first choice because what will happen if you do pass away before you pay off the loan, then that gets subtracted from the death benefit. Plus, if you keep the loan on the books, every year interest is going to accrue, so it gets larger and larger inside of the policy, and it affects how the policy works. So I think the cash value type policy, I like to see people purchase those if they have a longer need or they maybe they aren't real healthy, but they have a large estate plan or they want to just continue the policy for a long period of time. It's smarter to take it out earlier because the premiums stay level and are guaranteed and don't go up. With term insurance, I have found people that have purchased them, and then as the time is running out on the term policy, then they say, oh, you know, I really think I need more. I bought another home and I have a large mortgage. Well, then they may not be as healthy. And of course, the premium is based on your current age, so that's going to be more expensive. So it's just different things to think about when you're thinking about what type of insurance to buy.
So term insurance is for a period of time. You don't expect to keep it forever. You expect maybe that risk you're trying to manage is going to go away at some point.
Right.
But your point is sometimes, yeah, when we're younger, we're qualifying for lower, cheaper
right.
insurance. So that's really a good option. But all of a sudden, if you're 60 buying a new house, your point is, well, at 60, you're not going to be able to get that same kind of term mm-hmm. policy. Now, Roxy, is it true, too, that if we're at 60, when we're, 30, we go to buy a term policy, we might be able to get a term for, could we get a term for how long?
30 years.
30 years. Well, let's say we're 30. So now we're 60, and all of a sudden I've retired, and I've gone crazy, and I bought this other house, and I realize, whoops, if something happens to me and I die, my wife's not going to get my pension or my paycheck or whatever. And now all of a sudden I realize I might have a bigger need here. Mm-hmm. I go to apply for insurance at age 60. What kind of term policy could I get at age 60? Are they going to give me a 30-year?
No, you couldn't get a 30-year, probably a 20. And there are some 25-year term policies out there, too. But, Lori, sometimes what I'll do is tell a client, why not do a mixture, do some term insurance to cover, of course, the current need, and then maybe some either universal life policy that is less expensive than what's called a whole life policy, and that contract can also run for the length of the insured.
Okay. So to cover some element of mm-hmm. what might be a permanent need, because as you said, there might be other things like estate taxes or when we had talked about the show, we were saying funeral needs.
Right. Final sometimes, expenses.
Sometimes people will want to make sure their final expenses are covered. And then if they're trying to do that at age 85,
right,
they're not going to find a policy at age 85 necessarily in a term, but there might still be a permanent insurance.
There could be. You always have health issues at that time, too. So you wouldn't probably be approved for preferred premium class. There are different classes of premiums, and the higher, like preferred, would be least expensive, standard plus, standard, or a rated policy. Perhaps there's a family history of heart disease, or perhaps you've had some type of cancer or heart disease problem that would not allow you to have the least expensive premium. So as you get older, I have just found that it's harder and harder to get the best price. So it's usually good to look, more in your 60s, definitely 80s gets to be up there pretty high.
Okay, so then can I ask you one other question about the term insurance? Oh, and by the way, if other people have questions besides me, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you could talk live on air with us or off air, whatever you're more comfortable. Roxy, back to term insurance for a moment, because there are even different kinds of term policies,
right.
Because I believe you can find a term policy through a group. Like if you're involved in a professional organization, there might be group term policies or insurance policies that folks could get that may have more favorable rates or not. But then you could also go to an insurance professional and get a term policy
right.
as well. So you could shop around.
Are you talking about like medical doctor, the AMA?
No, I'm talking about, yeah.
CPA.
Yeah, like different professional organizations might offer group.
Right.
Kind
Those
of,
have good rates. I know the AMA and the CPA organizations have good rates. Now, those don't last. I think once you get up in years, it becomes a step-rated type premium, which means every so many years, the premiums go up. So it's something that you have to think about because you think, oh, I have that. And then all of a sudden, the premiums start increasing.
Yeah, they go from $1,000 to $1,250
right,
or something.
Right.
Okay. So different kinds of term insurance mm-hmm. that people need to be aware of. And the permanent, you mentioned universal and whole life.
Right.
Is there something different about those that people need to be aware of?
Well, I always consider universal life to be a term policy with what I said earlier as a side fund. So there, it mainly is, it's pretty easy to pull apart a universal life policy. With a whole life policy, there's a whole nother component that has dividends within the whole life policy that can be used different ways. So a dividend is usually considered a return of premium. So you can use it either as a premium reduction. You can use it to accumulate inside the policy, earning interest, which will be taxable every year. Or the one that I like is you can use the annual dividends to purchase additional insurance, which also builds up cash value. So inside that policy, you're going to be growing more accumulated value than you would in a universal life. However, the premiums are going to be higher.
Okay, so the premiums might be higher, but you have different options. Do you have to make that option each year? Do you have to make that option when you first buy the policy? Like whether you want it to buy, pay, reduce the premium, buy additional insurance or build up cash value, and then you set
something accumulated else. Interest.
Okay,
so no, you can change that every year. You can change your dividend option every year.
Okay, so that's something that if folks find or think they might have those kinds of policies, we're back
that.
To reviewing.
That's
to making
right.
sure you're taking care of business because your circumstances might have changed. If that whole life policy you took out 20 years ago, it's for your whole life, and maybe now you're 70, maybe you took it out when you're 50, and your circumstances might have changed. So you really want to review that.
That's right. In fact, those older policies, some of those could actually be self-sustaining. I don't want to say paid up because insurance doesn't like that term.
Okay.
But if the values inside the policy are sufficient to keep the contract going, you may not have to pay any more premiums on that. Or as you get older, perhaps the need for life insurance is no longer there, but you might need long-term care. You could actually use those values and transfer them into a type of policy that might have either a rider or something that has a long-term care option on it. So that way, as your life changes, your needs change, you could have that policy do something else for you.
Okay, and we are going to talk about long-term care as we go through the rest of the show, but I want to ask, you know, It seems a little complicated. I think that sometimes insurance professionals get a bad rap
right.
for, you know, selling products or doing things like this. So how does one begin to navigate these options? How do they know if they're going the right direction, if they're working with the right person?
First of all, you want to be comfortable with whatever insurance a professional you work with. If you just don't feel comfortable with them, if you think that they are pushy or just don't seem to be asking the right questions to find out exactly what your situation is, you don't have to work with that agent. I would look for a professional that has an insurance designation because they've gone through the education, they've gone through how a home office works, a home office insurance company, so they know how the premiums work. They know what underwriting is all about. They'll know what questions to ask a client to try to determine what the best policy and carrier might be. You don't necessarily want to always put all of your insurance with one insurance company. One carrier might be better, have better rates for term insurance. Another one might be better with combination life insurance and long-term care. So you might want to look for a professional that is more well-rounded in the choices that they have and the experience that they have.
Okay. When we come back, I want to talk about reviewing policies that people really, you know, that they currently have. And is that important? We touched on that a little bit about circumstances changing. So I want to go through that.
Okay.
And then we also had a question come up. Maybe we even could answer this, Roxy, before we go to break, because we have another minute here. So let me see if I can get this question. It's from Chen Ming in Emmaus. and they asked, what is the best way to use cash buildup in whole life insurance?
Best way to use it. Once again, I think it depends on your age. As I said, if you're older, and I want to say 60 or older, you may want to do a transfer of the cash value into something that you would use for your long-term care. But you could use your whole life cash value, exchange it into another life policy that maybe has riders that the older ones don't have. But if you find you don't need the life insurance anymore, it is possible to, but you'd need to call your insurance agent to surrender the policy. You just want to make sure that you're not going to have a taxable event. You want to look at the premiums that you paid in, that's your cost basis, versus the amount of money that you're going to get back, and make sure that there isn't going to be a taxable event by doing that. But you certainly, if you don't need the death benefit, you can take that money that is yours.
Okay, so Chenming, there sounds like there were a number of little options. The most important thing for you to know is to meet with your insurance agent, talk with them, see if they ask you those kinds of questions, your need and what you want to use it for, and talk to you about if there is going to be a tax consequence to you for it, which means you earned more in the policy than you put into the policy. So you want to ask all those questions, make sure they're asking all those questions, so that you make the right decision for your circumstances. This is a general education, and we're not making recommendations. We're just giving ideas right. And options that you might have that you need to explore for your particular circumstances. We really appreciate the phone calls, folks. If you have questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Spread the word about your business or organization to a well-informed audience. Become an underwriter with WDIY. Our lineup of NPR News and locally produced programs reaches thousands of engaged listeners in the Lehigh Valley and beyond. Underwriting on WDIY is an affordable and effective way to provide information about your product and services to people who care. To learn more about underwriting opportunities, 610-694-8100, extension 6, or WDIY.org.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. I have with me this evening Roxy Munoz, who is a CLU and insurance manager at Valley National Financial Advisors. And we are talking about risk management and reviewing the risk that you have yourself in your life, whether it's property and casualty, health insurance, disability, and life insurance. And I want to talk really quickly, Roxy, before we move into long-term care, about reviewing policies. We touched on it in an answer to a question earlier about reviewing insurance policies. Do you have any suggestions for that?
Yeah, the first suggestion is, does anyone know where their life insurance policy is? People put them in a drawer and they have no idea where they are. One thing that always makes me nervous is when a client comes in and they don't know the policy number. They don't know, you know, when it was issued or whatever. I find it very important to make a list of the policies that you have, because if something happens to you, your spouse or your loved ones are going to be stuck with going through your desk drawer trying to figure out where the life insurance policies are. What's the insurance company? What's the amount of the insurance? So anytime we
Who's the beneficiary?
That's right. And a lot of times people, because they've put them in the drawer, have forgotten, gee, they've gotten remarried, you know. So yeah, you want to definitely, like, review it. And what I normally tell our clients is maybe every 5 years, if it's a whole life policy or a universal life policy, I would check it. But if you haven't checked it in forever, please pull them out. Make a list. If you have a financial advisor, he should have that information.
Or she
should have that information in with all the other important you know, information that they have regarding your will and things like that, they should have the policy numbers down, the insurance company. I know when we help clients where we are, I have a list of who the insurance carriers are, and we notify them for our clients. So please make sure that you do that. And a policy review would be exactly what I said. Take a look at what the values are. Take a look at when they were issued. That has a big big problem if it's a 10-year term or 20-year term and it's coming up. And like I said earlier, you now have another mortgage. You're thinking, oh, geez, if something happened to me, that policy isn't going to be around. And I just took out a large mortgage and I don't want to leave that burden to my spouse. So those are things that definitely your insurance professional should be taking a look at.
And you know, folks, how I talk often about how each aspect of our financial life impacts another aspect of our financial life. Roxy mentioned, you know, the beneficiaries and your executors or personal representatives or family members are having to go through those drawers and find those policies that could be important for inheritance taxes, possibly estate taxes, and also beneficiary designations. I'm a big proponent of reviewing those beneficiary designations. As Roxy mentioned, life changes. You could have a remarriage. You could have additional children. You could have stepchildren or nieces or nephews or whomever you might have listed, and you want to review that regularly. So it's a good idea. This is your call to action tonight, which we're not supposed to have calls to action on public radio, but I'm not calling you to act toward me. I'm calling you to act for yourself. So, Roxy, let's move, if we can. We've got about 10 minutes to talk about long-term care. What's going on there? It seems like we hear, you said they could have started possibly back in 1980 with some long-term care policies. They didn't have all the bells and whistles that we see today, but we've seen an evolution of long-term care being more comprehensive and covering more options like home care. What about long-term care insurance companies who might have gotten out of the business now? What's the evolution of long-term care?
Yeah, that's funny. There used to be, oh gosh, I would say, off the top of my head, maybe 20 insurance companies that handled long-term care policies. And over the past 5 to 10 years, I want to say there's only a handful left. And it's mainly because of profit. It's mainly because the claims are exceeding the premiums that they had calculated to be for each of the policies. And so what happened was the insurance companies have to go to every insurance commissioner, because insurance is state regulated, and prove to each of the 50 insurance commissioners that a raise in the premiums were needed because the premiums were not meeting the claims. So it just became more of a burden on the insurance company's books. So more and more companies have gotten out of them. MetLife is not selling them anymore. I believe John Hancock, Prudential. So a lot of the top carriers are no longer selling them.
So what are people to do? We've seen some other there are still some long-term care
there
insurance
are some,
providers
yes.
out there, but how have those other companies evolved them when they have, you know, customers coming
right.
to them saying, hey, I need some long-term care?
Well, I think the products themselves have evolved because consumers did not want just a traditional long-term care policy, like a typical insurance policy, homeowners or car, where you pay every year and maybe you never use it. So same with the traditional long-term care. You pay an annual premium. It can go up. They weren't guaranteed. But if the premiums did go up, they had to go up for each class of people. The insurance company couldn't pick and choose. Plus, they had to get approval through the commissioners. But I think the consumers said, hey, we want something more than that. Those just are not meeting our needs.
Because I might not ever need it.
That's
and then
right.
I feel like, oh, gee, I spent all that money. Because people don't realize how much long-term care costs.
Well, that's true.
But they're in their mind, they're thinking, I might not need it.
Right. So what insurance companies did is they combined either life insurance with long-term care or now annuities with long-term care. So what that means is, if you are paying for this combination policy or hybrid policy and you pass away, there will be a death benefit. While with a traditional long-term care policy, if you passed away, you didn't get any money back. There was nothing to a beneficiary. And then with these the annuity long-term care, if you passed away, there was a value, accumulated value inside the policy. If you weren't using the long-term care, you would have values that would go to a beneficiary. These were more attractive and made more sense for clients because you'd be utilizing them in some way.
Okay, so now we have some, you said life insurance element. So if I need long-term care then, and I've bought one of those policies that's this hybrid, mm-hmm. and I'm in the long-term care facility for, 2 years, does the benefit continue? Is there a death benefit?
Well, the way the policies work is they can be structured for the client. So you can, up front, when you purchase the policy, determine how many years you would like to have coverage for if you need it for long-term care. So usually it could be a 4-year, 5-year, 6-year benefit period where if you go out on claim, there would be a pool of money that would be available for long-term care. And with these policies, a lot of them are a single pay, not all of them, but you would put in a certain amount of money. So let's just say you've got assets, cash, in your investments of, let's say $300,000, and you want to take $50,000, $75,000, carve it out, single pay into one of these combination policies, it will automatically leverage up the long-term care pool of money to maybe 3 times more than what the amount of money you put in. Now, you can only use that when you go out on long-term care claim, but you would have that life insurance death benefit component or the annuity cash value component that would be available there. But that's the concept of how those work.
So let's pretend we bought one of those types of policies and I put $50,000 into it. If I never use the long-term care, it was just a $50,000 life insurance policy, and that's that death benefit then, typically?
Right. The death benefit will be higher than the amount of money you put in, because in order for it to be considered life insurance, there has to be kind of like a corridor. So the death benefit will be higher than the amount of money you put in. But the annuity would probably be pretty equal to the amount of investment that you put in, plus earning a small interest.
Okay.
Good question.
So basically, though, big picture here, that realm is also evolving. And so it's really, really important not to make any assumptions about long-term care or about life insurance based on what was going on 5 years ago or 10 years
right.
ago, because that whole risk management arena has evolved
right.
into giving people more options. So how do people know what to do? There again, similar to what we asked earlier about
right.
life insurance.
They need to get in touch with someone that's what they do, an insurance professional, because they are going to take a look at your assets and determine whether or not a combination type policy is something that you need. Maybe you don't even need long-term care. Maybe it isn't something that would be for you, and that's fine too. But if you have, I would say, $250,000 of investments that is more liquid, I'm not talking about real estate or anything like that, that is something then that you maybe want to look at. But I would say you need to have at least $250,000 or more of investments
in order to do that.
Yeah.
It's funny, Roxy, what I have found with people, it seems to me, I think it comes to being a very personal decision when I talk about long-term mm-hmm. care with people, because when they have had a family member who has needed long-term care, they seem to be very interested in long-term
right.
care, because they know the burden, the cost burden is so tremendous. For people whose family members seem to all drop dead of a heart attack, they're not interested in long-term care at all.
Right.
So I think sometimes it does end up being a personal decision. Sometimes if you wait until you have a health problem, that could complicate it.
Yeah, then it's usually too late. I did have a couple statistics because I knew we were talking about taking care of your loved ones. So I had looked up some statistics on families caring for their older relatives. And it says that families provide the great majority of long-term care and they pay for it. $71 out of every 100 spent on long-term care is paid by families.
So keep that in mind, folks, when you're talking about insurance. Roxy, if people are have any questions, how do they reach you?
They would call, do you want the number at Valley National? 610-868-9000, extension 124.
Okay, 610-868-9000. Roxy, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
We really appreciate it. Folks, we hope we helped spur some ideas for you to take action in thinking about your loved ones and taking care of your loved ones and reviewing your risk management. Next week, I'm going to talk about Schedule B, B as in boy, interest and dividends, and all of the things around that. I want to thank Lori for being here, taking the calls. Listeners, thanks so much for your calls and questions. I really appreciate it. Jeff, thanks for being here. Roxy, of course, thanks for coming on. I really had fun. Coming up next, we have Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.